shifting these days has become almost mandatory. In fact, it's been pretty much mandatory for all of us. And if you haven't gained some insight or some knowledge necessary to shift our minds and our actions, along with the demanding shifting, which ends up causing all kinds of havoc and zero results. I don't know if that's you, but that is a whole lot of people in our listening audience, in our surrounding, in and around our bubble of people. If you are truly wanting to change the game, then you need to become a game changer. And I want you to listen in as we chat with the president and chief learning officer at Rise and Shine Consulting. She offers programs to companies to reduce turnover, increase customer retention. Profits and margins are going to skyrocket once you bring her on staff with you. I want you to really settle in, listen to this. She's an expert of positive possibilities. I can't wait for that. I love that tag. And a master of taking action. And wherever you're listening from, thank you. This is the Erin Strayer Show, where we are all about promoting, cultivating, and expanding amazing female entrepreneurs that are out there in the world doing things just a little bit differently. They're shaking it up. They're coming at it from different angles. And we talk about hot topics. Man, oh man, do we have some shifting that's a hot topic going on right now, and those develop pain points. And not only do we talk about them, we give you workarounds to those challenges that we specifically as female entrepreneurs face every single day. I'm your host, Erin Strayer, and we're going to jump into this amazing lady. And I want to just read just a little bit more about her. She working with organizations who want to create happy, healthy, humane workplaces for increased positivity, productivity, and prosperity. Cheryl Mays is an expert in positive possibilities and a master of taking action. Using successful strategies and principles learned over the past 10 years serving as Director of Development for Make-A-Wish, SPCA, and Junior Achievement, she served over 10 years also as VP of Admissions and overseeing 25 locations. We're going to talk about those things in depth because I might have got them messed up just a little bit. Cheryl's also a certified Canfield trainer. She's a Lean Six Sigma Black Belt professional. She is a keynote speaker, an empowerment speaker, and an on-air personality for the Authors Lounge on Dreamspire TV. This lady is no joke, and I cannot wait for you to meet Cheryl. Holy cow, like I was reading your bio, and it just keeps going and going and going.
You know what they say, there is no rest for the weary, right?
Right? You know what that said to me, though, is that you're constantly an advocate out there changing and shaking things up and looking for the possibilities of how things can be better. That's what you're like, and that you're that constant learner. Like, that's what you're
absolutely. You know, I love the opportunities that you have when you wake up and your mind is open and mm-hmm. you're just ready to receive the opportunities. You're ready to receive. I always tell people to leave room for abundance.
Right?
And, you know, and oftentimes we go through the day and we're so set on how we want things to turn out.
And so, right? We got our own schedule.
Exactly.
We got our own agenda.
Yeah. You know, and then when something happens, you miss that flexibility opportunity. You miss opportunities in general because you don't see them. You know, when we talk about mind shifts, I always talk to people about when you leave yourself open, then you can see opportunities. But when you are so stringent, when you are so trying to control every outcome, then when opportunities come around, you don't see them. And so you miss those opportunities.
Yeah. And I think I know that I personally have fallen guilty of that because I have my own agenda and it's pretty tough. Like, and it's closed and I'll listen to your idea, but it's not on my agenda and I'll listen. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and I know that over the past many years, like I know that I have fallen into that missed opportunity because of my own agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I know that is, and I think that there are many top C-suites and leadership and management that fall into that. And I'm clearly, that's your wheelhouse. Those are your people that you deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do they go, oh my gosh, Cheryl, I need you, but you're really making me mad because you're pointing out what I'm doing wrong or need to change, right? Not necessarily doing wrong, but need to shift in order to grow, right?
Exactly. You know, and what's so interesting is for C-suite individuals, it's like you can have all the conversations in the world, but what it boils down to is the ROIs.
Yep.
Right? What is my return on this investment? How is it going to increase my profit margin? How is it going to reduce my costs? How is it going to allow my company to reach its strategic goals?
Yeah.
And so when you speak that language, then you have the opportunity to, they have the opportunity to now say, okay, let me look at this from a different viewpoint, because she's speaking the language that I speak. And oftentimes as coaches, what I find is that we have a language where we want to come from the heart. We want to come and we want everybody to have these healthy working environments, and we want people to have self-care. And when you're talking to someone that's looking at the bottom line,
they don't care. They don't care.
It's like, you know, that's not nice. And that's all really nice. We would love to be able to do that, but what is it going to do for our bottom line?
Yeah.
And so when you literally, when I have the opportunity to explain and share how it does shift your bottom line, when you're taking care of your people, when you reduce your employee turnover, because we know training is totally expensive. It absorbs time. It absorbs money.
Yep.
It absorbs other people that have to stop doing what they're doing to spend time with this individual.
Yeah.
And so when you have the ability to reduce that, then you are increasing your bottom line. When you have the ability to reduce your costs, because you're looking at the processes, reducing costs can increase your bottom line just as much as raising prices. And oftentimes raising prices is not the solution, because now you're talking to your customers and you're saying, hey, we raised the prices. And they're like, but I'm getting the exact same thing.
Yeah.
A widget is a widget, but you've just increased the price to the widget and you didn't even change the color. You know, so now you're looking at your customers and you're expecting them to do something more than what they're willing to do. And so that's why I love the concept of Lean Six Sigma.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lean Six Sigma is about reducing waste. It's about reducing waste, not only in your business processes, but also in talent and creativity.
Yeah.
And so people oftentimes don't equate talent and creativity to waste.
That's a big hole in a lot of people's mentality and a lot of their process, is that connection isn't made. And they're quick to say, oh yeah, there's some dead weight or whatever you want to call it on the team, or a weak link or whatever, but they're not willing to take care of it.
Yeah.
The
motto that I have is that we don't have poor people in great processes. We have poor processes for great people.
Oh.
And so when you look at your process, oftentimes I've spoken with individuals in departments that have no idea what the next department does. You know, because they don't communicate in that fashion. They do what they do, and then they assume that the next department does this.
Sure.
But necessarily, and I did finger quotes thinking that this is on air, but you people can see that. I did finger quotes right there.
It's true. I saw them.
Don't understand what happens after they do what they do.
Right. Once they pass it off, right?
Like, exactly.
Yeah. Once they pass it off, what happens? Like, well, they do their job. Well, what is that? I don't know. Yeah.
Right. And I've heard people say that. Well, I thought they did that. And they're like, well, no, I thought you did that. And so now you're talking about waste here. So if you are in the process of fulfilling an order, where is the bottleneck? Because what your customer is looking for is cost.
Yep.
They're looking for a speed of delivery.
Yep.
And they're looking for quality.
Yeah.
And so what are they willing to pay for? You know, I often share with people that, you know, when you think of Lean Six Sigma, people go, oh my God, it's engineering, it's
right.
statistics, and oh my gosh, I don't want to hear about it. But we're process thinkers every day. Every single day, we are process thinkers. When you go into a grocery store, you do several things. You look at the quality. You want the store to be clean. Mm-hmm. You want your transaction to be expedient. You don't want to wait in line very long, because we've seen people waiting in line and they're like, can you open up another register?
May or may not have been one of those people. Just saying.
Anymore. But, you know, and so that's what we do every single time. And then we compare. Am I going to go back to that store because I had to wait in line for 20 minutes? They had one cashier. They had 30 people in line. They never called another cashier up front. Maybe I should go to another store where they have five cashiers,
right?
Especially during this particular time of the day when they know people have to get in and out. You know, am I looking at the cleanliness of the store? How many times have I asked you about a particular item and you said, oh yeah, we'll get it. And then I've come in and you haven't gotten the item repeatedly. So now I have to make a decision. And my decision is I'm going to go someplace else. So when you start looking at your customer first and using customer first thinking, which is what Lean Sigma is all about, customer first thinking, you now have the ability to answer those three questions. What is the quality? What is the speed of delivery? And then, you know, what is the transaction process? They just did, I ordered a pizza. This is, I actually wrote an article about this. I ordered a pizza from Marco's Pizza. And not only was the pizza great, because I love Marco's, but what I loved about it was they gave me text message replies. So when I ordered the pizza, instantly I got a text message that said, your order has been received. This is your order number. Your pizza estimated delivery time is 8:29. Okay. And so then I got another text message that said, the kitchen is busy making your order. They're prepping your order, making it perfect for you. Your estimated delivery date is at 8:29. And I'm like, okay, I love this.
Wow.
Then I got another text message that says, your pizza is on the way. It will be there at 8:29. And I'm like, this is, you know, for customer service, how many times have you ordered a pizza and like 40 minutes have gone by and the kids are like, when's the pizza coming?
Right. Mom, thought you ordered pizza.
Exactly. And then you look at your watch and you're like, oh, I think I ordered it like 40 minutes ago. Let me call the place.
Yeah.
You know, so how great is it for customer service to know that I know every step of the way of what's happening with my order?
Yeah. And you know, that's reassurance. They have you, you're in process. You know exactly what to expect. You don't have to wait. You can, you know, plan around it, whatever.
Absolutely. And more importantly, I'll be back again.
Absolutely. Because of the experience.
Exactly. So now we're talking customer retention, which is literally what you want. Oftentimes, companies spend a lot of time recruiting new customers versus taking care of the customers that you have.
Say that one more time. Say it again.
I'm going to say it again. Businesses spend far too much time trying to recruit new customers instead of looking at your customer base and how can I enhance their experience so that they do like I did. I wrote an article about it. I put it on LinkedIn. I put it on my Facebook. I gave Marcos all of these kudos because that to me was not only unique, but it showed me that they care about their customers. And somebody said, hey, how great would it be for us to alert our customers about the entire process?
It's
which
beautiful.
Means you put customers in the seat. And I always say, when you go to a meeting, leave an empty seat. And that empty seat is your customer sitting there. And so what would you say to this person sitting here when they've placed their order and they haven't heard from you? What do you say to them?
Yeah.
You know, what do you want them to feel? So I call it the empty seat method. is to just leave an empty seat at the table and say that is your customer sitting right there. What would you say to them?
I think if more and more, whether you're brick and mortar, whether you are a digital online speaker, coach, consultant, whatever it is that you do, service provider of any kind, if the focus was more on the empty seat, your customer and the customer retention, instead of more, I just need more, I think that things would change, shift, alter. I know specifically in the digital space, like I feel like I get solicited all day, every single day, but I never hear from the people that I spend money with. You know what I mean? Like, I know that that's my experience personally. And I'm like, wouldn't that change a whole lot of things that in my, just my space alone?
Exactly.
You know, if I felt seen, if I felt like I mattered to them, if my money mattered to them that I'm already spending money with.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, it's an interesting mindset. And if people haven't been through, you know, the trainings that you've been through or any of the trainings that you do, you know, like that mindset, again, I'm going to go back. You said it. I totally thought Six Sigma was military. I'm like, I don't know what that's like, military stuff. I don't even know what that is, but I should know what that is. And I think it's pretty impressive. Right. But if when you break it down and you actually dive in and learn about it, the mentality crosses every single possible demographic that you can imagine. Absolutely. I don't care if you're a dog sitter, you know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that I do in my program is I break it down to whereas layman terms. Whereas, you know, you're not thinking about all the statistics and you're not thinking about, oh my gosh, this is going to be a huge, huge ordeal.
Yeah.
But you have the ability to break it down to see how you can utilize it. I often utilize it. I have a program now that's called LEAD, L-E-A-D. And yeah. I use the concepts of Six Sigma for personal development. And I call it individual development because oftentimes what we try to do is we try to balance our personal life and our professional life versus
integrate. We try.
Right? And that's really hard to try to balance. But what about integrating the two? And oftentimes what we have is when we're at work, we find that we're more successful. Why? Because we follow the processes and we do it every single time. And so we have sustainability.
Yep.
We have, you know, we have high performance because we know what the process is.
Yeah. And there's a structure, right? And there's policies and they're proven and the protocol is there. And okay, what do I do when this happens? It's all there. And you have resources.
And you do exactly what is being told. But then when we get to our personal lives, we leave all of that at the job. We leave all of those processes that allowed us to accomplish our achievements, all these awards. We leave all of those things on the job, and then we get to our personal lives and we kind of get unraveled because we can't come to terms with, okay, how do I continue to, for example, let's just say the goal is everybody uses this example, losing weight, right?
Sure.
So how do I continue to do that? Well, if you had a process that you followed for every single area in your life, you don't have to continuously find new ways. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You go step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It works for this next area in your life. You use the exact same steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that gives you a method that you can use that will allow you for sustainability. So now you can continue to do it because now it's like muscle memory.
Sure, right? Sure.
You continue to do it. And so what this program does is it gives you those steps from Lean Six Sigma to apply to your individual development that will allow you to focus on areas in your life that you want to change.
Yeah. So let's talk about this program. Like, is it a one-on-one? Is it a group program? Is it 6 weeks? Like, what's this? Let's talk about it.
One of it is that I use it for a keynote, where we go in, we talk about it. I'm so excited about it because we've instituted, I've worked with a couple of people, a clinical therapist. I am also working with a company that focuses on taking naps. Because that's
I like that.
Self-help, but it's all grounded in data and facts. And so this is what happens. So when we do it as a keynote, I share with you Lean Six Sigma in its simplest form so that it's easy to understand and you can apply it to your life. And we use some of the tools for Lean Six Sigma to actually come up with a designated area in your life that you want to focus on. It's also a workshop where we will spend 4 hours together. Well, now virtually, right?
Sure.
Where you can, and you know, you go into your breakout rooms, but you literally have the opportunity to dive in a little further. So in the short term, you will come up with an area that you will focus on. In the workshop, you will actually begin to develop the steps so that you now have steps that you will use to change that area in your life. And then it is a 12-week program for individuals that literally want to go through the sustainability aspect of it. And it starts out with this really, you think about when you were younger, you used to do Mad Libs.
Yeah.
And some people might not remember or understand what a Mad Lib is, but it's a fill in the blank type thing where it gets you to, typically it's a fun opportunity to get you to kind of think of something out of the box. People use them for icebreakers. Well, what we've done is we've taken it to another level, and we've had a clinical therapist put a Mad Lib together that will allow you to now start asking yourselves these deeper questions.
Cool.
So now you start to focus a little deeper on the root causes of why you haven't continued to do those things that you are looking to do. And oftentimes, you know what? We are so hard on ourselves. You have to literally say, okay, I forgive myself for the past.
Yeah.
I forgive myself for all the times I have let myself down. I am now moving forward. So we don't deal a lot with all of the past stuff. We go right here. This is where we are today. We're forgiving ourselves. And so that's the initial Mad Lib.
Yeah.
And I call it a lead lib. And then you will do three more during the course of time that will allow you to institute the tools at each level. So the first one is I regret. The second one is I commit to change. The third one is these are the processes I'm going to use. The fourth one is this is how I'm going to sustain my efforts. And wow. So literally you are walking the process and you are developing a process and you are also embedding your life in this so it becomes very personal.
You know,
and the whole purpose of it is to give yourself more quality of life. When you think about waste comes in so many different forms. And so oftentimes what we do during the day, I bet we can eliminate probably 30, 40 minutes, maybe even 60 minutes of the time that we do spending doing stuff that's not adding value.
Yeah.
And so with this extra time, what I share is that we're not going to fill it up with more stuff. That's not the purpose of it.
You can take a nap.
There you go. You hit it, man. So there is a company called the Nap Bar, and they're in Houston, and it's literally a place where you can go in and you can get into a pod and you can power down.
I need one of them.
So what you do, NASA has actually done a study. Believe it or not, NASA has done a study, and the study concluded that their astronauts, when the pilots took a 26-minute nap, they were 34% more productive and 54% more alert.
Wow. It's I believe
powering
that.
Powering down for 26 minutes.
I believe that.
Well, what if you had this time to be able to go somewhere, meditate for 15 or 20 minutes?
Right.
You know, how many people literally during lunchtime go in their car and take a nap?
Yeah.
You
a
know,
lot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if a company has this room where you could literally just go in and, you know, napping is not a cute word for HR, right? It's not an HR friendly word. Right?
So I like power down. I like that.
Where you can literally power down, you know, and then come back and be more creative and come back with more vigor. You are recharged, you've revived, you've rejuvenated your mind. And so now you have the ability to be more productive and more alert.
Yeah. And ultimately, that's results.
Exactly.
Right? Which is what the company wants. instead of the go, 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 burn your people out, have your people quit. Now you got turnover, right? Like,
right.
How much more efficient, smart, intuitive, like leaning into your employees, like all of that.
Yeah.
Like balled up and really, that's a pretty big mental shift for companies.
It is. It
to
is.
Shift into that. Yeah.
But you know what? This pandemic was a shift.
Right?
This, everybody, so the two words for 2020 is pivot and bandwidth.
Yes.
Those are our two words for 2020. So in 2021, they will probably be expired. Mm.
So. Can't use those anymore. Got to come up with something else. Exactly.
Yeah. But just think about the companies that had the ability to instantly go, okay, we've got to pivot. How do we continue to be relevant? How do we continue for our people to remain with us is to figure out how do we now adjust mm-hmm. in this new terrain? And so when you're looking at that, now is the best time ever to look at your employees' self-care and turn development and wellness into a joint plan. So that it's not just, you know, how more can we be professionally developed, but how more can we be individually developed so that we operate, so that we're sufficiently operating at a high performance level in both our professional and our personal lives.
Yeah. And I think that's huge. And my brain clearly, because I have a medical background. So my brain clearly goes to hospitals and institutions that are massively overloaded right now. Like work, because we're still in it.
Exactly.
You know, and they're already strapped for space and they're already strapped for employees and they're already strapped for like time and energy and equipment and all of the things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what if at the beginning of this, they're like, okay, we know that this is what our people are going to need.
Absolutely. You know, even to say that it's okay. Because how often do people feel so guilty about getting up from their desk and walking away?
Right? Yeah. Oh, how many steps did you have today? 154. I got 154 steps in today. Woo!
Exactly. When your goal on your Fitbit is 5,000.
Yeah. And they're like, well, where'd you go?
You're never going to get the 5,000. But people oftentimes, they feel guilty about getting up and walking away. You know, you think about now, how many Zoom calls are we on a day?
All day, every day.
Exactly. And so now they have this term Zoom fatigue.
Right.
Right? Because oftentimes when you think about it, even when you're going from meeting to meeting to meeting in the workplace, you literally have that time when you are leaving your office, you're going down the hallway, you're interacting with other people as you go to the meeting, mm-hmm. and then you get to the meeting.
Yeah.
But with Zoom, you're like, click the button. Okay, the next Zoom meeting, click the button.
Yeah.
You have not moved. And so, you know, there's this mental fatigue that sets in because of the capacity of what our minds can take. And plus, we're staring at people for 30 minutes,
right?
And staring at yourself, wondering if you look interested. Do you look like you're paying attention? Wonder what my background looks like. Are people in my home?
I know.
That's a lot to take on.
It's true. All the things that go, and it's funny because, you know, I work from home anyway, prior to the pandemic, mm-hmm. but when my husband came home, you know, when his office sent him home for a month, 6 weeks, something like that, that was something like that shift to having him and then, you know, my son in the house too, because school shut down, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm used to being at home by myself. Like, y'all, Space Invaders came, right? Like, that's my green screen. What are you doing? What are you doing with my green screen? Like,
no, I don't make lunch for everybody.
No, I don't. I don't make lunch for myself either. So you're on your own.
Exactly. It's like, you know, we've added this extra layer of stress.
Yeah.
On top of our already stressful situations.
Yeah. So key things, how do people find you?
My website, which is rising-and-shining.com. I'm also on Facebook at riseandshine.success. Instagram, riseandshinecf. And I'm sorry, YouTube. You can find me at Cheryl Mays on YouTube.
I love it. I love it. So just recapping, massive shifting and changing to make sure that you are maximizing and being efficient with your time and your energy. Mindset absolutely has to come into play. Make sure that you're concentrating on, the process and your bottom line and what's in the gap. And your amazing program is available. They can find you.
Yes.
Something that they can implement individually or in their corporations, or you hire into corporations also?
Absolutely. And it's a great opportunity for individuals to look at their lives. And maybe one of the areas that you focus on is your career, because we have seven areas of our lives for us to be able to focus in on. And so once you've accomplished your goal in one area, move to the next, but you use the same process, which is what I love about it, because that's sustainable. And that's typically where we fail in every single thing that we do. Oftentimes our failure comes from sustainability. Because we either surrender the process that we got, or we try to add something else because we've seen this thing that says you can do it in 10 minutes instead of 20 minutes.
Right?
Instead of actually doing the work, take a pill. So we look for these quick fixes, but it doesn't help us with sustainability. So this is a process that is literally embedded in sustainability.
And I love that. And the people like me that are very much process people anyway, and that aligns and lights me up. And I'm like, ooh, super excited, like very, very interested in always seeing where I can shift and change the process to be more efficient and more productive and more sustainable. Oh, did we lose you?
Absolutely. And I will do this, Aaron, for your listeners, if they are interested in being a part of the program, if they mention that they heard this on the Aaron Strayer Show, I will allow 5 free access to the program.
Oh my gosh. What an amazing gift. So friends, if you are listening from any podcast platform, iHeartRadio, anywhere.
My sound was out.
Just a little bit. It was lagging just a little bit, but we got you. If you're listening from whatever platform you listen to us on podcasts, Cheryl has offered, if you mentioned that you heard about her program from the Aaron Strayer Show, she has an amazing gift for you. With that, so make sure when you reach out to her, we'll make sure that your links are in the show notes that are attached to this so people can find it. And Cheryl, I really appreciate your time, what you do, how you change, shift, and really plug in the sustainability for people and shift all of that in and around these massive, not only people and what they do individually, but corporations as well. And what you do is so valuable. And I appreciate your time and coming on and talking to us today. Thank you so much.